that time.
Better that time.
All right.
Okay, so this comic's about John C. Reilly, if I understand correctly.
This one?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, no, wait.
That is literally my only touchstone. No, don't take this away from me. It's John C. Reilly.
No, that is the predecessor. That's the one that died.
No, stop, stop. No, don't. No, my dreams. Stop.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So, if you're not familiar with Nova, John C. Reilly is the guy who dies and passes his powers along.
Yep.
And Peter Serafinowicz was the guy who tried to take over the entire Nova Force himself and became a villain. So,
fair.
Yeah. On that note, hello and welcome to this thing we're doing called How Marvelous.
I am Max.
I am Mickey.
And I am JR. How we feeling?
I don't know. I'm okay.
Cool.
This week's been weird. It's just been a weird fucking my brain week. So, yeah.
I got to talk to a stranger about my bowel control.
Oh.
So that's fun.
Because of your back pain?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
That's fun.
That's one of those things that they're just like, so you have back pain, huh? And it's pretty bad and it's down into your legs. You ever shit yourself?
Wow.
And
jeez. I made friends with the with Steve from the Drew Carey show.
Which one was Steve?
That was his brother.
Oh, the one who got with Mimi.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like in person or on Twitter?
On Twitter.
Oh, no, that could, I mean, it counts. Whatever.
No, it totally counts.
It's how you and I became friends, so fuck it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's he?
Pardon?
How's he?
He's good. He's got gray hair now. That's it.
Stands to reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was 20 years ago.
I kind of want to ask him what Diedrich Bader's like.
Fair enough.
And that's about it. I mean, the guy's a Batman. It counts.
Diedrich Bader, I follow him on Twitter, and I've only really had one interaction with him. But, yeah, like, he seems nice enough. He's your basic white liberal.
Yeah.
But not like in a terrible way, like, you know, just kind of like white liberaling it up, you know, just
he tries
not do what
he tries.
He tries, but also he's I've never seen him calling for revolution or even Medicare for all, just like
that's really more of a Ryan Stiles kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things of like, you know, I was very disappointed to find Chris Evans having a conversation with Bill Maher, like, willingly.
We literally talked about that in a previous episode, and a day later, he did that.
Yeah, because like, I was literally saying, like, Chris Evans seems really cool, but I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, I'm going to find out he's the worst kind of just shit-ass liberal. That's just like seemingly wants good things, but also like
wants to
lines
return
up
Well, no, but the position is you wind up wanting to return to a status quo that was shitty for people in the beginning. And that's not good. Which of those guys, Dietrich Bader and Ryan Stiles, which of them is Canadian? Are they both Canadian?
I don't think Ryan Stiles is, so I'm going to claim Dietrich Bader. And when we can claim people, we will.
Okay.
Well, we will.
Celine Dion, never forget.
No. Eject that bitch into the sun. But if you touch Colby Smothers, I will fuck you up.
Oh, I didn't know she was Canadian. Jesus. Okay, cool.
Really?
I'm an idiot. I'm a moron.
I mean, that was the joke. That was the point of the whole let's go to the mall thing.
So, Dietrich Bader is from Virginia.
Ah!
Okay.
What about Ryan Stiles? Yeah.
Ryan Stiles is Canadian.
Oh, okay.
Well, wait, no, hold on.
No, the other one's Canadian, the bald guy.
Yeah, Colin Mochrie is Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, so when I pulled him up on Wikipedia, it said American Canadian. But then I look at birthplace and it's Seattle, Washington. So, whatever.
To be fair, if he lives here, we'll count it, just like Brock Lesnar.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I don't even... What are we talking? Nova. Right. We're talking about Nova.
Right.
Coming off an issue that honestly would have been better, even if it had just been pictures of Jim Shooter burning the money from that was made off the issue. We get this, which, while not great, is at least something.
It's better.
So, it's better.
All I can say about this is it's my first Nova comic.
Oh, like entirely?
Like, pretty much, like, only, it's my first comic called Nova, starring Nova.
Wow.
And like, he's not just, like, some background character to other shit happening.
Right.
Okay. Well, so here's the thing. I had tried on several occasions to get into Nova, whether it was through New Warriors or whether it was through reading his own book, and I just couldn't. 'Cause yeah, he looks really cool. But I just didn't get into him.
Well, wait a minute. The costume's cool. The helmet is hit or miss. Yeah.
But, I mean, generally speaking, it's a cool design overall.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is the thing that made me love Nova, the thing that got me hardcore into Nova, was Annihilation... And so forth into Thanos Imperative. Because so Annihilation fucks with Nova hardcore. Yeah, okay. Like
it's really good.
It's really good. And Nova gets really awesome. But then in Thanos Imperative, one of the things I absolutely love is in the course of Thanos Imperative, Nova flashes back to a conversation he had with Peter Quill during Annihilation. Though Star-Lord barely appears in Annihilation at all. He's sort of in the lead up to it. In Thanos' book, and then he's not really in it to amount to anything. He's in Annihilation Conquest.
Okay.
But, like, ostensibly he was involved in everything that was going on while Annihilation was happening, because it was such a massive thing going on. Nova's just like, I don't know how to deal with something this big. And Peter Quill is just like, well, you know it's really big when the abstracts start getting involved. And he's like, what do you mean abstract? And he's like, you know, the concept of chaos or order starts getting involved in what's happening. Then shit gets real. And he's like, what do you do if that happens? And he's just like, you just stare it in the face and yell at it as you try to kill it. And that's basically,
I haven't read the Thetis Imperative, and now I'm going to go check that out.
Well, it is. It's
because I read Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest and enjoyed the shit out of both of them, but I haven't read that one. That's cool.
Well, it's Annihilation Conquest is awesome. Annihilation is awesome. Annihilation Conquest is awesome. War of Kings and Realm of Kings have some interesting things. Like, I like what they did with Darkhawk, of all characters, in that.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
But Realm of Kings is primarily, like, is primarily interesting because it sets up Thanos Imperative via the Cancerverse. And the Cancerverse is really cool. Because the Cancerverse is a universe in which Captain Marvel didn't die. And that spelled the beginning of the end for the concept of death in that universe. Like, death itself died.
Oh, that's, and that sounds like some Green Lantern I've heard of before.
Yeah, and
but
so
like, yeah, then nobody starts dying, and then it starts like piling up in that universe.
It
right?
starts piling. It becomes like a literal cancer. It's just things are multiplying out of control, and War of Kings ends with a massive explosion that rips a hole in the universe, and entities from the Cancerverse start finding their way over.
Oh, good.
And it becomes a problem. And so what they wind up doing is they resurrect Thanos in order to basically drop him into the Cancerverse and reintroduce the concept of death.
Holy so, fuck!
That's brilliant, though.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, yeah, I need to check this bitching. The fuck out.
I like that.
Yeah, it's... That era of Cosmic Marvel was doing some really cool shit. So
I quit after Annihilation Conquest.
Shouldn't have did that.
No, clearly.
All
right, so let's talk about this issue.
Yeah, so how about this era of space, Marvel?
Oh, so, okay. Over on Watcher's Guide, we have been reading Nova, and we're about up to here. Not all the way here, but we're close. And Nova in 77, 78 is, on the whole, fine. They haven't done anything. They've done one or two really interesting things with the character where essentially we're trying to reboot Spider-Man 10 years later, right? That's what he is. He's a teenager he's in high school, and he's generally kind of hapless. He's not smart, which is one of the differences they're taking. And
he's a fucking idiot.
He's an idiot. Like, he's a complete dummy. And he thinks he has like no luck with women when he clearly already has a girlfriend. And like, then he gets these powers, and the cool thing they've done with him in the 616 books is that he is shit at fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, he has all this fucking power, but he is absolutely terrible when it comes to actually fighting and using his powers. Like, he can fly around and like monitor and get into scraps, but he's gonna get his ass kicked all over and up and down. The best issue so far was he was fighting an insurmountable opponent who literally considered him, I mean, he is a boy, but like, they considered him beneath them the entire time, and I mean, he pulled a Spider-Man, and every time he got knocked down, you know, Rich got back up again. And damn it, I did it. That was an accident. And that was cool. That moment was awesome. Since then, that was 4 or 5 issues ago, I think. Since then, it's not been so great. The thing is, like, I see...
We got some Yellow Claw shit after that, and it was just like,
I see a lot of promise in this character from where it's at now, that it is disappointing to know that they squander most of that promise for, like, 40 years.
But I mean, basically, what you've got to think of it as is... Nova is what if Spider-Man were a bit dumber and became a Green Lantern. Like, that's basically, like, the Nova Corps is a knockoff Green Lantern Corps. And that is functionally what the character is. That's the origin. That's what you got to know going in. Like Max said, the Sphinx is the story with the Sphinx was interesting because, yeah, he's just like, get out of my face, Stripling. Like, I need you alive, but I don't really want you alive, so don't push me.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, like, it's interesting because, like Max said, he gets hit and gets hit and he keeps getting back up. And the Sphinx is like, okay, you have my attention now. Like, you are more than I gave you credit for being. So I'm going to let you live. We will continue this later. I have time. I'm immortal. I cannot die until I find this answer. So you can live. We'll continue this later. But yeah, since then it's just been a whole lot of bullshit.
Well, I just realized we sound like we must to Mickey sound like indie pop enthusiasts as well, because it's like I knew about this before it was cool.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah.
Oh damn. Anyway, whatever. So this issue,
we're gonna do something a little different here because this is 4 different stories. With different artists and stuff like that. I will tell you the first creative team, and then we'll go issue story by story, and I'll tell you each one of those. So, we have Volume 1, Number 15 of What If. What if Nova had been 4 other people? And this issue came out in July of 1979 and was written by Marv Wolfman. The framing story was penciled by John Buscema, inked by Joe Sinnott, colored by Michelle Wolfman, lettered by Michael Higgins and Irving Watanabe, edited by Roy Thomas and Marv Wolfman. This framing story basically just tells you who the hell Nova is, because odds are you don't know. The Watcher is just like, I know all of these things because I know all there is to know because I'm the goddamn Watcher. Are you new? But then we actually get into it. And the first story is penciled by Walt Simonson, woohoo, inked by Bob Wachek, colored by Nell Yamtov. And this story involves a woman named Helen Taylor, trying to make her Helen Keller, apparently.
Apparently.
Whose husband gets murdered, and then she, as she is standing there mourning her husband, she is struck by the wave of power that otherwise empowered Richard Rider. She then uses it to basically become a rocket-assed Punisher. I'm trying to remember if she even how it even really ends. She is forced to confront what she's become.
Yeah, she gets captured by the Fantastic Four for reason. really stated. And then it ends with Reed going, gee, I wonder what pissed her off. I'm not going to ask her, but...
Yeah. And, like, this entire... So, she gets shot into the negative zone. Because that's Reed's answer for everything. But at the end of this, we find out that the criminal she'd been chasing that entire time, trying to track him down, had, like, right after it happened, driven his car into the river and died. Yeah.
So, it's a really nihilist ending.
That's the end.
Like, I mean, I know that, like, half the reason they end it this way is just because it's, like, I don't know, it's the Twilight Zone ending, but, like, it's so dark and bleak. Like, the fact that she was doing all of this for no reason, really. Like...
Yeah, it's that when you first set out to seek vengeance, you might as well did two graves kind of thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, God. Damn, because I actually kind of liked her up until the end, and then it was like, this fucking sucks. Everything sucks. I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of hate the Punisher, so... Seeing a character become the Punisher, but not, is kind of boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's fine. Like, it's a very moralistic story. But not in an interesting way. And
well, that's what I was going to ask you, is like, what moral do you think it's teaching?
That vengeance is by its very nature pointless. Like, you know, I think that's what they're going for, is like, she's been hunting for this guy and he's been dead the whole time. And so she destroyed herself for no reason.
All right.
Well, I'm glad that someone got something out of this.
I didn't say it was good. I just said that's what it was.
Well... Also, it's implied that this body has been underwater for quite some time, and I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody got a face when they've been underwater for that amount of time.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Like, he not only has a face, but he is suspiciously unbloated.
Yeah.
So, I'm questioning this guy's CSI capabilities here.
Yes.
Moving on.
Speaking of faces, my God, the next section is ugly.
What's that?
My God, the next section is ugly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not great.
No.
It's not my favorite. So, the next section has pencils by Carmine Infantino. Inked by Frank Springer, colored by Roger Slifer. Infantino is one of those that can be hit or miss at times. Because there were times that... Was he the one that did that Daredevil a week or two ago we read, Max?
I think so. We've been reading a lot of Infantino lately. And yeah, I think if it was that Daredevil, then I really liked it.
But that's like, what I was trying to think was
the one where it started out with him running, like, that's the dumbest fucking sentence I was about to say. Was it the one that started out with Daredevil running across the goddamn dryer lines?
Ooh, yeah, that could be. There's so few issues that feature that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that could
Is it that issue of Spider-Man that starts with him swinging around the city?
Man, I already told you this episode that I am an idiot. Leave me alone.
All right. Anyway, yeah. Carmine Infantino can be really hit or miss. This is I think more of a miss than a hit, certainly. But this story involves a dude who, do they actually say he's homeless, or is it just heavily implied?
I believe it's heavily implied.
But he's been Nova for like a minute, but hasn't really, like, he's got the costume and it's just kind of been around. But he hasn't done a lot with it. But the Skrulls come to Earth and they're just like, ha ha ha, Earth, let's check it out. Jesse, meanwhile, winds up at this orphanage and the lady is like, come on in. There's a lot of kids, so get used to that. But he's friendly with the kids, and the Skrulls register a large amount of power on Earth and go to investigate. Admittedly, that describes a bunch of different shit at this exact moment in time.
Yeah.
But whatever. We're not talking about the Hulk this week. We're talking about Nova. So they show up looking for Jesse, and Jesse tries to throw down with them. One of them turns into a snake and binds him. He pretends to go down just to get the Skrulls away from the children. They go back up to the Skrull ship. He fights them, and in the process destroys a control panel, which causes the ship to explode. Jesse, I guess, dies. Hooray.
Yeah. And becomes the North Star just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, yay. Thank you. It was definitely a Christmas thing the whole time.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
Anytime it's a Christ story, I'm just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the nonchalantness of the lady from the orphanage, who at the very end of the story, instead of being like, he was a good man and he gave his life for you and you should always appreciate it, she's literally just like, well, I'm bored. You kids want something to drink?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wants hot cocoa? That was pretty.
Wow, he blew up real good.
The thing that's odd is it's very tempting to say that the whole Christ thing is boring because I'm an atheist, but it's really just because it's such a hack crutch. You know? Yeah.
No, that's
it's
I agree.
Like, you know, RoboCop is Christ, I can at least get with, you know? But because at least with that, there's other things going on. It's like, yeah. But when it's like the Man of Steel style Christ allegory, and I'm just like, oh my God, I get it. Jesus is Superman. This was boring when Singer did it. This has been boring every time somebody's done it. Can we please stop? But yeah, anyway. Moving along.
Yeah, we actually get to an interesting one.
This one kind of has a bullet points thing going on. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the fastest.
Yeah.
No, he means the comic, bullet points.
Did you ever read that?
Nope.
It's real.
Okay.
Okay.
One sec. So, real quick, penciled by Ross Andrew and inked by Frank Giacoya, this is What If Peter Parker Had Become Nova. So, the bullet points of bullet points is that it is a 5-issue miniseries put out by Marvel. And the premise of it is that instead of being shot immediately after creating Captain America, Dr. Erskine was shot before creating Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
And it leads to this butterfly effect wherein Peter Parker becomes the Hulk, Bruce Banner becomes Spider-Man, Captain America becomes Iron Man, on and on and on. And it's interesting. And so this is much the same thing, where it's just like, okay, things go a slightly different direction, and we wind up with a radically we wind up with a familiar character in an unfamiliar costume.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you can't exactly say radically different, since it features Peter getting in an accident, getting superpowers, misusing them to his own detriment, and of course, crippling guilt, and then quitting. It's got the makings of an entire Spider-Man story.
Well, I mean, Peter is Spider-Man no matter what.
Peter Parker is no matter what. Fuck up. And that is the fundamental truth of this universe.
Yeah, but the short version of this is that Peter Parker is bitten by a radioactive spider, but instead of giving him spider powers, it gives him non-working legs. And so he's feeling sorry for himself and life sucks, but then he's struck by a ray of power. He's suddenly able to walk again, and he becomes Nova, and everything's great. But then in the course of things, he winds up protecting Uncle Ben from a burglar, but kills the dude. And so he winds up turning himself in, standing trial, yada, 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 whatever. And like we said, it's an interesting story in general. Because, you know, even though at the end of it, I mean, clearly it was self-defense, you know, the burglar shot at him, the bullet bounced off of him and hit the burglar.
Yeah, that's not his fault. That's horseshit. But of course, it being Peter, he'll be like, I murdered him.
Yeah, so we get the costume in the trash can, except it's a Nova costume instead of a Spider-Man one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The last one is, what if a criminal had become Nova? And this one is penciled by George Perez and inked by Tom Palmer.
I feel like this one's the biggest disappointment, because it had the potential. Like, I really like the Spider-Man one, because that's what the other two should have been. There should have been, like, what if Rhodey became Iron Man and then ended up Jesusing himself? Or what if the Hulk became Nova? And this character is surrounded by supervillains. We could have had, what if the Red Skull became Nova? Or what if Thanos became Nova? But instead they're just like, fuck it.
It's just some random guy. And honestly, when I first started reading these first few pages, I was like, is that Nick Fury?
I was so confused. They never say who he is. And it's just who smokes stogies? Logan Fury. It's not Logan.
Because he's too tall.
Yeah.
But it would have been
Grimm.
It would have been rad if it were Fury and he somehow had used the Nova power to become like a Doom level supervillain. Like, that would have been like, what pushed him to that? Like,
yeah.
Right?
That's cool.
Or like, what if it was Doom? And Doom essentially had the power of a Green Lantern. Could you imagine the terror that would be Doom with a weapon based on willpower?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Fuck.
That would have been fucking bug fuck.
It's already green.
Yeah. The short version of this is that this Nova works with Doom, Red Skull, and Sphinx to kill every superhero in the world, and then they all turn against each other.
Inevitable.
The thing that is interesting about this requires you to have read Nova.
Yeah.
Because at the end of this, you know, Sphinx kills Red Skull, and then it's him and Nova, and Sphinx is like, okay, now the world is mine and I can do what I want. And but the thing is, what Sphinx wants is to die. Okay? That is, so Sphinx's whole deal is that he was, when Kang went back in time and became Rama Tut, Sphinx was his advisor.
Okay.
That went south, so he struck out on his own into the desert, and he found this gem, which wound up granting him immortality. But, you know, who wants to live forever? And the only way to be allowed to die is for him to find out a certain key piece of information that he has been looking for and looking for and looking for. And generally speaking, when he looks for it in someone's head, it does not go well for them. Like, a lot of people die in the process. And that's what it's implying at the end here, is that he's going to start burning through people trying to find this piece of information. In Nova, we discover that along with everything that he got as Nova, this piece of information is now buried in his head.
Ah.
He has the information. So in that issue where Sphinx is like, I need you alive, but I wouldn't test that, that's why he needs him alive. Yeah. And so at the end of this, when he murders this guy who becomes Nova, he's killing the person who has the piece of information in their head that would give him what he wants above all else. But he doesn't know that, and now he will never know that.
Okay.
And so
that kind of makes sense. Like, reading this, I was trying to get like, okay, is this like a proto Thanos Infinity gauntlet thing? Because it seemed like that, but in context that you just explained, it makes much more sense.
Yeah, it does, and I think it makes the ending better. I'm not going to say it's great on its own, but I think it does rely heavily on that information, and knowing it makes it okay.
I would like my major issue with this issue is that I think I would have put this story first and been like, or maybe second, because the problem is to end on a story that your audience, because it's what if, like a bunch of people pull what if, and maybe they don't pull, they aren't pulling Nova. And if you end on this story that's so heavily dependent on a Nova, like what's going on in Nova or what had gone on in Nova, then you're alienating so much of your audience. They're immediately going to be like, oh, fuck this. I don't know what the hell that means. And that's not nice. If you boot in the middle and there's another story right after the end, then okay, whatever. That's weird, but fine.
Yeah, they should have definitely ended with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am generally of the opinion that a situation like this, I'm okay with this. And I'll tell you why. Because the type of people you are going to get who don't know Nova and who buy this simply because they buy What If every 2 months are going to fall into one of two groups. One is going to be people who don't read Nova and they get to that and they don't understand and they don't really care enough to like find out what it's about. They're just going to say, okay, then, and go on about their lives. And the people who see that and don't know what it's about and they're like, what does that mean? And then go out and find it, are going to go out and find it, and then you've got a new reader. So either way, it's kind of like you've at least gotten it in front of people.
Sure.
And, you know, like, you may prompt someone to check out Nova who otherwise might not have. So, fuck, who knows? But I'll tell you one thing I will say. The Nova costume is very much designed for a man.
Yes, it does not work otherwise. Or rather, works too well to over-sexualize.
Yeah, because it's just like...
Star boobs!
Yeah. Star boobs!
Star boobs!
Like, the only thing that would make it worse is if it were to wind up that the third point on the design wound up right around crotch level on her.
Oh, yeah. And we're talking plunging neckline all the way down to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. I had the same thought. I can see it now. It's drawn by Jim Lee. I hate it.
Yep.
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 So.
The only thing worse in recent memory that I've read is the. What was that character called? Was it Maneater?
You are on your own.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah. No, it was the Spider-Man 2-in-1 villain. Or team-up villain. I'm on my own. It's okay. I guarantee you it's real. Or at least I'm close. And not being a terrible bastard right now.
There you go.
No, that's a guy.
No. I swear to God, it's a real thing. And it's horrible. I don't know that it makes it better for me in this moment right now. It's real awkward.
That's a tiger, man.
Yeah, okay. She tries to blow up the power station, or so she successfully blows up the power station.
Was that Maneater or Man? Because it's the one that shows up again in Thunderbolts, isn't it?
Can't speak to that.
The big lady with like super strength?
Maybe.
I have no fucking idea what you guys are on about right now.
Marvel 2-in-1 is fucking... Team-up is crazy. Sometimes. Anyway. Alright, so let's go. The issue's... Overall, to me, the issue is... Okay.
It's better than the one that preceded it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if my options were starting a comic collection based off this or starting a comic collection based on the previous one, I would definitely actually want to read comics again after this. I would definitely want to burn them all after the previous one. So that's a plus for this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to remember what the name of that character was.
Eat Manor.
Eat Manor?
Eat Manor.
Okay. That must have been it.
Yeah. I'm going to feel really bad if this was some kind of fucking fever dream of mine.
You could have written for Marvel in the 70s.
Apparently.
You know, right. The man-eater. The, rawr!
Yeah, got it.
You check it out.
Get it. See this guy? He gets it.
Yeah.
Jackass. Oh well.
I don't know. I'm gonna figure that out, goddammit.
Okay. Maybe not right now.
That's fine. Moving on. Next issue, we have something. So, I don't remember what.
What if Shang-Chi, still worked for Fu Manchu?
And again, I feel like this is one we've now been... that Max and I have now been primed to deal with. Man-Killer.
Man-Killer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like maybe she had another name at one point, but...
It's a little whatever. On the nose, don't you think?
Well, it was one of those things of... I think it was slightly backlashy against the wave of feminism that was going on at that time.
Ah. Okay.
And so it was just kind of like, I mean, this is what could happen, you know.
Yes,
you got this lady, she hates dudes. And what's going to happen? She's going to start twisting their heads off. And it's just kind of like, what woman would, like, do that? I mean...
Well, listen, even, you know, we've all been there.
It's just a crazy day.
Now all I want is a late 70s reactionary take called Boy Punisher. And it's just a woman dressed like the Punisher, and she only kills men. Are they criminals? No. No, they're just men.
Yeah. So anyway.
And then Mr. Fantastic launches her into the negative zone.
You know what I want? I want the issue where we find out that the toilets in the Baxter building all empty into the negative zone. And that's why Annihilus and Blastar are always so goddamn angry. It's just because they keep getting Ben Grimm's chili shits just like dumped on them. Anyway.
That's a good way to end an episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Waiting an hour for Ben Grimm chili shits. Goodbye.